Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch My Drift here at Wham! Talk 1600. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today and get to it. And if you have not tuned into The Drift before, what we do is talk about the news we put up on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should be www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know and share and retweet and whatever else you have to do this election season to get people educated before they walk into that election booth in November. So make sure you take care of that and inform yourself. Get active. This is what we do. It's why I'm here every Saturday, and it's why I do the Daily Drift on a daily basis for you. So make sure you're doing that. Let's take care of a little business. Our sponsor this half hour, Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, 734-455-5560. If you're looking to take care of any of your outdoor garden or patio work this summer, now is the time to do it. Get over to the Rock Shop on Godfredson Road and check out all the paving stones, wall stones, you name it, boulders, gardenscape stuff. They've got it there. Marco and Elena do a great job, and they'll teach you to install everything that they sell for free. They've got a great crew of guys there who will help you out with whatever you need, 734-455-5560, or you can check out their website, www.rock-shop.com. Okay, so make sure you're doing that, and you can catch the show Saturdays and Sunday evenings at Conservative Radio Network. It gets rebroadcast on a podcast, and Conservative Radio Network will be merging, shall we say, with Red Nation Rising on July 4th at midnight. So look forward to that, rednationrising.us or conservativeradionetwork.com. Catch these shows and a lot of other great shows as well, so check them out. They're all podcasts. You can watch it at your leisure when we're not here live, of course. But let's get right into it. We've got a guest coming in today. They're not on the horn yet, but I'm going to take care of a little business here, talking Clinton. Now, we've got a lot of people out trying to bash our nominees and whatnot, but the one thing that I am going to try to do between now and November is take care of Hillary Clinton in the way that I can do best, and that is by bringing you the news that you're not going to get from the mainstream media. And one thing that's getting very little coverage, you might see it on Fox, but you're not going to see it in a lot of other places. And this is a premium example of what's going on in our country. There are claims that Google is altering search parameters to help out Hillary Clinton. And Derek, do we have track one ready? Let's go with that.
Google on Friday denied the allegation that it censors search suggestions specifically to favor Hillary Clinton. Instead, the company said its algorithm filters out content universally to weed out, quote, offensive or disparaging suggestions. A company spokesman said in a statement to the Washington Examiner, quote, Google autocomplete does not favor any candidate or cause. Our autocomplete algorithm will not show a predicted query that is offensive or disparaging when displayed in conjunction with a person's name.
All right. Now, for most people, that gobbledygook means a whole lot of nothing. But it's no different than what we've been hearing the claims on Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg and his algorithms and the guy that owns Twitter, who I always forget his name. I do more Twitter than I do Facebook nowadays. But if you don't think these people are trying to manipulate us a little bit, they are. Check your own tweets and whatnot and see what's trending and what's not trending. You can go through your analytics and see whether things are being jaded in some fashion or another. And it's the same with Facebook. So check them out. Be aware that that is happening and hold them accountable. You can always send a nasty little Facebook post or something to Mark Zuckerberg and say, hey, man, I don't like the way you're doing this, that, or something else with my post. Because even on Twitter, you're seeing some banning. People get banned for sometimes just the craziest things. And they're not very helpful when it comes to reinstating your account if someone says, oh, he said something nasty about this, that, or something else. So be aware that that is happening, and it's happening on a regular basis. So just one more part to the Hillary Clinton campaign being helped out by the powers that be. All right, so I was going to talk about our guest who just calling in, and if you know, in this show, we seem like we're always bad-mouthing this or complaining about that. And when I got into this 5 years ago, I was hoping that we could do something positive. So when I come across something positive, somebody with a solution, I'm going to try and bring that forward. And our guest today is Joey Eddins from Pennsylvania. Joey, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good. How are you? Now, Joey, we've exchanged a few emails and texts and whatnot, and you have what I think is one of the greatest ideas. And well, tell me a little bit about yourself first so people can understand how you have the experience to be dealing with our veterans and their medical care.
Sure. Well, I'm a EMT here in the state of Pennsylvania. I've been doing this job for about 15, 20 years. I'm an EMT instructor for a local community college, and I'm also a CPR instructor for the American Heart Association.
Okay, and you've got family that are veterans, and you have a, as a, it says here, you have a son who's serving in the Navy right now?
I do. He leaves on the 19th, and a daughter who is split ops right now with the National Guard who will be doing ROTC with the local college.
Okay, and you've got an Uncle Joe, right?
I do have my Uncle Joe, Vietnam War veteran.
Yeah, so and those guys, a lot of them always have special needs because we all know, I had a neighbor next door to me, a great guy, Mr. Gervasi, years and years ago. He ended up dying of Agent Orange. He was a Vietnam vet. Chuck was just a great guy. And so a lot of our Vietnam veterans suffer from something related to Agent Orange and those kind of things, right?
Absolutely, and my uncle was no exception to that.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about community paramedicine, as you call it, and the G.I. Joey Bill, as you were joking about. How do you, you know, well, let's go back, let's take a step back and say, we all know that, what is the wait time for an average VA guy, guy going to the VA trying to get some help and get an appointment?
Right now, the average wait time across the United States is 30 days or longer.
Which is an outrage.
Absolutely. I mean, imagine calling your family doctor because you have the flu and want to be seen and you have to wait a month.
Yeah, you'll either cure it yourself or die in 30 days with the flu, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so how can we cut that? You have some great ideas. Tell us how you think we can cut that wait period down.
Sure, well, I borrowed from the community paramedicine program, which is actually already passed in many states, and made some amendments to fit it into the Veterans Administration. Basically, what community paramedicine does is anything from preventative to post-operative care. It's documented that, you know, it improves patient outcomes, lowers costs for both patients and healthcare providers and the hospitals. The savings are in the millions of dollars.
My plan would
use volunteer EMTs to go into veterans' homes and offer the care at the same cost they're already paying now, so we could take their wait times from 30 days down to a week or less.
Oh, that's awesome, and that is huge. Now, let me ask you the key question, then. Do we have enough volunteer EMTs across the country? There are some regions that do better, some that do worse, some communities that have more, some that have less.
You know, it's interesting you ask that question. I can speak mainly for the state of Pennsylvania right now, although I've been doing research in many states, including Michigan, which has a phenomenal paramedicine program in place that deals with cardiac and lung issues and has had magnificent results. We actually do, and many of our EMS providers are former veterans themselves, so
right.
They truly understand the need. I've also I started G.I. Joey Bill at USA.com, an email address to have veterans and EMS providers write into me and tell me what this program would do to help them or why they'd want to volunteer. And it turns out there's a lot of nurses that want to volunteer as well.
Oh, that's awesome. So give me that website again so we can get it out a couple times during the show.
Sure. It's G.I. Joey Bill at USA.com.
At USA.com. Okay.
So if you're a veteran and this program would have helped you in some way, or a family member of a veteran who this program would have helped, you're an EMS provider, a nurse, even doctors that would want to volunteer. I'd love to hear from everybody as I meet my state representatives and hopefully get my foot in the door on a federal level. I'd like to print all the letters out and take them with me.
Okay, and we're going to tie you up with, I've got a pretty close relationship with our own 7th District Congressman, Tim Walberg, and I've got some contact info for Mike Bishop and some other people. So we'll try and get that hooked up for you. But when you said, you know, here in Michigan, right here in Ann Arbor, and you sent me the link to this, it was we have a community paramedicine program which is expanding here in Michigan. And when you talk about the savings, it says here that CEO, MedStar CEO Colby Miller, who is part of an ambulance-type program, said he expects to enroll 75% of heart failure patients within the next year with a savings of $3.1 million in readmission costs. So explain to me a little bit about what an EMT would do as opposed to somebody going in, they get out of the hospital for a heart condition, and instead of going back or being readmitted because they didn't take care of themselves or didn't get the appropriate follow-up, what is it that the EMTs, like yourself or others, would do?
Sure. Just like a regular clinic visit, we're going to check your blood pressure. We can weigh you. We'll check your glucose, make sure your blood sugars. Anything that you would have done in a normal clinical setting, we do on our emergency calls now. Weight, you know, just checking somebody's weight would be like a little bit of an addition, but it's certainly not something we can't do. Our protocols, if the program would go down the way I'd like, would expand a little bit. We'd actually operate under the medical command of the VA versus the state departments of health. So we could do things like flu shots, tetanus shots, all types of preventative care. We're able to spot issues quicker. I'll give you a great example of where this would have worked and why my idea for this program is so important. I believe we've all heard about, they called him the Candyland VA doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Why I believe most of the problem is an overwhelmed system. We have such a large number of vets, and our VA is switching more to outpatient clinics now than actual hospitals and inpatient care. There are instances where oversight is lacking. With my program, anybody in EMS would have seen somebody on, you know, a bunch of different prescription pain pills and the dosage amounts and would have been immediately concerned. Would have called an oversight committee, which I address in my program idea, and I truly believe that veteran would be alive today.
Yeah,
it would have been addressed.
So instead of him getting just more and more prescriptions, you know, if he had a relationship with the local EMTs who come on a regular basis, they develop that relationship. You guys would have seen. Wait a minute, man, there's an issue here. You're addicted. I guess that's what we would call it, right? Because it's easy enough to get addicted to painkillers. I mean, we see it all the time. Look, Prince just died of painkiller overdose. People sometimes move from prescription drugs to heroin or whatever else. If you have that, and I guess this is what, you know, when the Democrats want to go ahead and say, we want to do preventative care and we want to take care of people, this is actually a solution that works and doesn't cost billions and billions of dollars. This is a solution that's handled.
The startup costs for this program are so minimal, and the savings from the federal level down to the state to the, especially our veterans, and there's even perks in it to get our EMS providers to want to do the program that are beneficial to the state and would be beneficial to the program itself. You know, perks like free schooling for EMS to increase their skill level in healthcare. So, like, a medic might take nursing school, or an EMTB, which is a basic EMT, would, you know, go to medic school, and it would cost them nothing.
Yeah, and I was by chance talking to an EMT just a week or so ago, and he was talking about getting out of being an EMT because he wanted to become a registered nurse. And
correct.
For him, this would be a program that he wouldn't have to pay all that money, right? If he was doing his time doing some community paramedicine, he would be able to score some free college, right?
And I mean, that's an issue that, you know, this program addresses on the EMS side of it, although the focus is on the veterans. EMTs, you know, I don't want to put anybody down, but the people out, you know, with fast food marching for their 15 an hour or whatever, they're generally paid better than EMTs already,
mm-hmm.
Or close to it. So for somebody to go to school and pay $10,000, $15,000 to maybe make $16 an hour isn't always feasible, and it becomes very difficult to feed your family on the salary you make, especially when it relates to the job we do.
Right.
So this is a solution to that, and it keeps a higher skill level of medical professionals within the state and working within the VA.
Okay. Now talk to me a little bit, because maybe we'll get some people more active here, and they'll get to their website and get hold of you. But you've been dealing with some legislators in your own state. You want to talk about a little bit how you did that, how you approached them and brought this? So, because you've actually been having some success. Maybe we'll get some people here who will join you in our state and start pushing that. Who did you talk to first at the legislative level?
Sure. Well, it turns out I have a friend named Terry Christopher who is running for a delegate here in Pennsylvania. And he is friends with our state representative, Brian Cutler. So he helped me get in to speak with Brian Cutler. The benefit was that Brian had actually co-sponsored the community paramedicine bill here in Pennsylvania, and he's been on the back of an ambulance, so he has some medical background. So when I approached him with my idea, he got it, and he got it right away. I was then able to go from that to getting phone calls made for me, so I ended up meeting with AIDS for Senator Toomey, about to meet with Senator Ryan Allmitt. I did get in with Senator Smucker, who I believe is probably going to be Congressman Smucker before too long. And I'll be branching out, actually, to some Democrats, because I believe this is truly a bipartisan issue. Everybody should want to fix this problem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Why would this is one of those issues. It's like fixing the infrastructure of the United States to make it EMP-proof. Why that's not happening, there shouldn't be one person on either side of the aisle who's against it. And this is the same thing. There should be nobody against cutting costs at the VA, getting better help for our veterans, and helping out our first responders, the EMTs, EMS guys and gals that are out there working their butts off every day.
Absolutely. And, you know, even on the state level, I mean, one of the things that my program is designed to do, and the reason I actually took ambulance associations out of the equation and I'm putting it more with EMT providers, is because there are so many programs that are offered with on the state and the federal level that when you have the same ambulance provider going into the same veteran's home, able to, you know, really get to know that veteran, their family members, even their dog's names, and form a bond in a relationship, you're going to be able to identify issues that'll be missed in a 7 to 12 minute clinic visit, that you will have, the EMTs would be provided with lists of all these different programs and the people to contact. So if I go into somebody's house, and this has happened to me, I actually was meeting with an older gentleman that's a veteran who I noticed was more depressed than normal. Found out he misses fishing. Well, Pennsylvania offers a fishing license to our veterans. He didn't know that. He hasn't called an ambulance, and I haven't seen him in 3 months because he's fishing every day. He's happy again. So something that simple makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Pennsylvania, maybe that's what we need here. In Pennsylvania, they get fishing licenses for our veterans for free?
Fishing and hunting licenses. They actually have a program for that.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't know if we have that in Michigan or not, but we should. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We're a huge state.
And, yeah. And I think there's a lot of programs like that, you know, financial assistance programs, education programs. There's so many programs that are offered either both the state and federal or in one or the other that our veterans truly aren't aware of. So we would make our EMTs aware, and because that relationship is formed, they can address those issues privately and, you know, be able to help the veteran out with getting some additional help. Also, with a longer visit, you're going to notice changes, you know, depression, PTSD, things that could also be missed that would be really important.
Right. Yeah, exactly, because there's a lot of veterans who may not want to fess up that they're having problems with PTSD. You know, they may not even realize that it's PTSD, but if they spend time and they're building a relationship with their community paramedicine guy, they get to trust him, they get to know the family, they might be having coffee, and he may notice that the wife has been kind of out of sorts as well, and that could be because he's not sleeping well or he's having nightmares or something else going on too. So I guess it comes down to, it's just taking that care and giving and bringing it down to such a personal level that there's better communication and ends up being better service for the veteran, right?
Absolutely. What we want to do is take our wait times down to a week or less and extend the visits from 7 to 12 minutes to 20, 30, even 40 minutes if needed.
Right. Now, do the EMTs do this? Can they, like, if they're volunteer anyways, do they drive their own vehicle out, they have their bag with them, they go and do that with the patients?
What my program suggests is that they would use their own vehicle, their own gas, their what we call a first-in bag. It's all the stuff that a normal EMT or medic would take into a call, maybe some additional items because the scope of practice for the EMT would be expanded just a little bit. They would take a bag that was provided to them by the VA, who I would hope would contract with local hospitals to restock supplies. They would have all that information there. They would report on trip sheets just like they do now, except it would go to the VA versus the state. And it primarily be handled the same way we handle calls on the state level at this point, but through the VA. So it's really important to get this up to the federal level, because there are some areas where the federal government and the state, you know, might want to headbutt a little bit.
Yeah, it's a territorial thing, whatever going on. That, but the fact that the VA now, with the VA people that you've worked with, are you getting positive feedback from them? Are they giving you help? Or are they giving you the stink eye and saying, well, I don't know. Are you getting anybody dragging their feet on this?
I was actually invited to speak at the State's Veterans Commission here in Pennsylvania, up at Fort Indian Town Gap, and the response was remarkable. Senator Valekovich, who is the chair for the Republican Party of the VA here in the state, I'll be meeting with him the week of the 20th, which wasn't a meeting I had set up private, you know, previous to this. I had many other organizations that are out in a voluntary capacity for our vets approach me and want to work with the program that I want to set up, that are willing to put their voice to me. So I'm reaching out to, like, the AMVETS, the American Legion, you know, all the major veterans groups. I just got invited today, actually, to speak to a group that is involved with representing the veterans of the North Korean War. They're very interested in this program and understand what it could do to help their veterans.
Yeah, because our Korean War vets are reaching that age where they probably really need that additional help. So, okay,
yep.
Great. Well, Joey, let's go back to this again. So the best way to, if there's an EMT, a nurse, a doctor here in the state of Michigan who want to kind of get involved and start doing this and talking to our state senators and our legislators, is the best way for them to reach you the GI Joey Bill at USA.com?
Absolutely, and I'd love to hear from every one of them.
Okay, because we do. We have a fair amount of veterans who listen to the show. We've got a lot of conservative shows here that veterans listen to. And so GI Joey Bill at USA.com. Phone number, or is that really the best way to reach it, just through the email?
You can reach me there. I am on Facebook.
Okay, Facebook.
That would be Joey, J-O-E-Y. The last name on there is Baker, B-A-K-E-R. I'm engaged, that's why.
Okay.
So, you
congratulations.
Know, reach out to me. Thank you. Reach out to me. Let me know. You know, EMS, we're a family, no matter what state you want to work in. Just like the veterans, they're a big family. We look out for each other. We fight for one another. So I would love to have my brother and sisters in the field help me bring this reality to our veterans who, you know, are truly heroes. And if we're already doing this in the civilian field and it works, there's absolutely no reason we shouldn't be adapting it for our veterans and benefiting our EMS providers at the same time, but most importantly, our veterans.
Yeah, this is like killing two birds with one stone. I mean, we're taking better care of our vets, reducing wait times, and helping out our first responders who, you know, you're right. They don't get paid a lot of money. These are guys that save lives on a regular basis. They're like our police and firemen, and they're kind of the unsung heroes. I mean, you've been an EMT this long, and you're not in it for the money, obviously, right?
No, absolutely. I actually own a painting company on the side so I can see my family, but I volunteer my time. Every month I volunteer for the Columbia QRS 8 here in Pennsylvania to give back to my community, and there's so many people like me that are in this field, and it's not a job. You know, you won't see us marching for that $15 an hour because we won't put a price on human life.
Right, right.
We're in it because we truly care about the people we're helping, and it's what we want to do. It's something within us we need to give back.
Right. Okay, well, Joey Eddins, soon to be Joey Baker, right? Or am I the other way around? Joey Baker, congratulations. And we will try to get people to call you, and I'll even put a link up on a couple of my websites here, GIJoeyBill@USA.com. We'll try and get – and callers, or listeners, if there's anyone out there, veterans, EMT people, make sure you get hold of Joey, and let's see if we can't get this started here in the state of Michigan as well. Joey, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right, take care. All right, and we will see you all on the other side of the break.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's, it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Mitt Romney making it clear Donald Trump does not have his support, going as far as to say he wouldn't rule out voting for the Libertarian candidate. The presumptive GOP nominee blasting his party's 2012 choice, telling a crowd in Tampa.
And he's sitting like a real stiff. Don't forget, this guy let us down, folks.
Not all Republican governors have welcomed Trump with open arms when he visited their state, but today, Governor Rick Scott did. He was a main part of the program introducing Mr. Trump, and that goes to show that in what will be a very important state come November, Donald Trump has the support of a major player.
Fox's Peter Ducey. And the outcry continues over a Stanford University swimmer sentenced to 6 months for sexually assaulting an unconscious woman. Three prominent political consultants say they're joining the effort to recall the judge in the case. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Northville Art House shines a spotlight on the imagination, art, talent, and cultural diversity of artists throughout the region when the annual Arts and Acts Festival returns for the seventh consecutive year, Friday, June 17th, Saturday, June 18th, and Sunday, June 19th in historic downtown Northville. The festival includes the 28th annual Juried Fine Art Show, Art in the Sun, featuring over 70 talented artists, the Sandbox Play Festival, produced by Tipping Point Theater, the Short on Words Literary Contest, musical entertainment featuring some of Metro Detroit's top musicians, children's activities, and the annual Northville Art House Chalk Festival, and a large variety of food and drink. Arts and Acts brings together the community to celebrate the local arts. With the exception of the tickets for the Sandbox Play Festival and a recommended donation for the Chalk Festival, Arts and Acts is a free event. It is also a major fundraiser for the Northville Art House. The funds raised allow Northville Art House to bring quality art exhibits and art education to Northville and the surrounding communities. To learn more about the Northville Art House and other events, call 248-344-0497 or visit northvillearthouse.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
It's summer, and with warmer weather, now is the time to get started on those outdoor projects. Call the Rock Shop on Goffertson Road, 734-455-5560. Whether you're looking for wall stones, paving stones, or new statuary for your garden, have a fun time and save a ton of money at the Rock Shop on Goffertson Road. Call 734-455-5560. You can also get a full selection of wood mulches, rocks, and garden soils, and all the stone wall products that you would need. Stop by to see all of the amazing products from Technoblock, the premier manufacturer of paving stones and retaining wall products. Check out the showroom and gardens Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, and Saturdays, 9 to 5. Call 734-455-5560 or go to the website at rock-shop.com. rock-shop.com. Set your garden wishes in stone at the Rock Shop on Goffertson Road.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch My Drift here at Wham Talk 1600. You can call into the show, 734-822-1600. Love to get your comments and opinions. And I want to thank Joey Eddins for coming on and talking to us about our veterans and how to better take care of them and come up with some unique solutions. The solutions are out there, folks. We just need to work on them and get our federal government to jump on board and start thinking outside the box instead of doing things as normal. What did they used to say? Business as usual. We got to stop doing that. Well, let's take care of a little business. J&M Landscaping. If you have a tree that needs to be trimmed or removed, because listen to me, don't wait until the insurance company is giving you grief about it falling on your house. Get it taken down. J&M Landscaping. Jason does a great job of removing a tree. I had a tree like that in my backyard last year. Jason came and got it down. I tell you what, I would not have known they were even there when I came home. The tree was gone. Everything was cleaned up. It was perfect. They do a great job. 248-640-7029. Call J&M Landscaping for tree removal. But they also do lot clearing, tree trimming, stump grinding, lawn services, you name it. They get it done. You can get 25 years worth experience and free estimates and reasonable rates. Call J&M Landscaping, 248-640-7029. They're really great guys. They're honest. They clean up after themselves. Good folks to have around your home. So J&M Landscaping, give them a shout. Okay, so we were talking about Hillary Clinton. I'm going to do my share of Hillary bashing today, and you can certainly join me if you want to. And I think Ken must have been listening. He's on the line talking about probably the news that we just heard. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I did want to comment on what we heard during the last news break, and that is Mitt Romney, who is a rhino, a phony, who has made the comment that he won't support Trump, that he's willing to vote Libertarian. And look, people, this boils down to one little bit of factual information. The Republican rhinos would love to have Hillary win because they will continue to become rich off of the trough. The Republican Party, the rhinos, continue to get rich off the American people under Barack Obama. They'll get rich soaking the eating at the trough under Hillary, and they're scared to death of Donald Trump.
Yeah, you know what, Ken, did you manage to see the interview with Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate?
No, I didn't catch that.
I'll go back. You could probably pick it up on Fox on one of their podcasts. It was about a week ago, and I had to listen because I thought, well, here's a guy who should be a Libertarian. You know what, Libertarian in a bad way, because right out of his mouth he said, we shouldn't be building a wall. We should have open borders. People should be coming here. People should be coming here and taking jobs, and we should be making it easier. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, what moron is Gary Johnson and anybody who would support him? And that's Mitt Romney right there, another guy, rich, wealthy Wall Street guy who wants cheap labor. And that's what it comes down to. You're right. The Republicans are no different than the Democrats.
Well, see, that's what we have to stress. There again, the establishment of the Republican Party is no different than the Democrat Party. They're the same. They're opposite side of the same coin. These people are constantly raping the American people. They are constantly getting rich, eating from the trough. And this is why they're scared to death of Trump. And I'm saying this again to your audience. Listen, people, we are at war. And it amazes me there's so many people in this country that just want to bury their head in the sand. We're at war having to do with Islam. They're at war with us for 1,400 years. People, do you really want Hillary Clinton to be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces? I don't. Now, I could not vote for Mitt Romney for religious reasons. I explained this to you in the past and your audience in the past. Well, these reasons do not apply to Donald Trump. And I'm telling you, I'm voting for Donald Trump. I ask your audience to vote for Donald Trump. And when I hear these morons who say, oh, well, I can't vote for Trump for this reason or that reason, give me a break.
Yeah, what it comes down to is one thing. Yeah, there's still a 50-50 chance, Ken. You and I both know, and I think we're both willing to take that gamble. Donald Trump may be completely lying to us, right? He could be. He may not do any of the things that he says he will do. I think he will. I believe he will, and that's why I'm giving him my full support. But I can tell you one thing. Hillary Clinton, you have 100% certainty – that she will open the borders, that she will bring Syrian immigration, refugees, Muslim refugees into this country in unwarranted numbers, and bring TPP, which will offshore our manufacturing capabilities, offshore our jobs. H-1B visas will be given widely out so that we can take away the technical jobs from Americans. There are a million reasons Donald Trump is not the same as Hillary Clinton. Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, yes, they are the same as Hillary Clinton. And that's the difference. And these people who don't understand that, just it befounds me. I'm dumbstricken when I have to listen to it.
Listen, one thing I look at, when I look at Donald Trump, now he's been a public figure for 40 years, and there's two things that stand out for me. First of all, the guy has never been accused, as far as I'm aware of any illegal business dealings. And second, he's got a normal family, as far as I can tell. And so when I look at his kids, and I look at his grandkids, and they appear to be normal, that says something to me. That tells me Donald Trump is a normal guy. Do I have problems with him? Yeah, I'm sure I do. But there again, I'm looking at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is I do not want Hillary Clinton to be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. I do not want Hillary Clinton to try to defend the country, because Hillary Clinton hates this country, people.
Yeah,
just like Barack Obama hates this country.
Yep, that's exactly right. You know, I Ken, thanks so much for the call, man. I appreciate it. It's always good to hear from you. You and I are spot on today, that's for sure.
You take care. You take care.
Take care, Ken. Take a bye. All right, let's take a call from Mike in Ann Arbor. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the problem is that 4 years ago, if those people that did not want to vote for Mitt Romney had voted for him and had not used his religion against the guy, we wouldn't have had Barack Obama today, and we wouldn't have had the problem that we have today with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, okay? Well, I think that's part of it. But the other part is, you know what, if you remember correctly, mm-hmm. I think Romney threw that election. That first debate, he was gangbusters. And the next two, he just backed off. It was like throwing a fight.
There were a lot of people that didn't want to vote for him because of strictly on his religion. But the point I wanted to talk to you about today is, you know, there's a big scandal.
Yes.
And, you know, they've been talking about Trump and the university
yep.
and all this other stuff.
Yep.
Well, there's a university called Laurent University, which is basically a diploma mill out of South America. And it seems that our former Secretary of State, while she was in office, gave them $55 million. And her husband, Bill Clinton, was paid by that same university $16.5 million as honorary chancellor.
Yeah. And
okay, so for those people out there that are saying, oh, I can't vote for Donald Trump, look at Trump University. I mean, you know, the guy's a sleazeball. You got the biggest sleazeball in the world sitting in Hillary and Bill Clinton. And if that isn't taking money from our pockets, taking our tax dollars and using them and misusing them, stealing them from us, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
If you or I did that, we'd be in jail.
Yep. And that goes to the Clinton corruption and the movie that seems to not be getting any play from the media, Clinton Cash. I encourage everybody to go see it. Do whatever you got to do. Download it. Go see it. Pay for it. Whatever you got to do. Clinton Cash. The media is trying to push this so far underneath that nobody can see it. You know what I mean? And that's got to end. But you're right, Joe. Listener Joanna sent me that same an email about that same subject, Mike. So it's interesting that, you know, and this is what I tell people who say, oh, he can't win against Hillary Clinton. You know what? Donald Trump can win against Hillary Clinton because for every scandal you try to put on him, she's got 10.
Now, let me tell you something. You're hearing a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to vote for him. I can't vote for Donald Trump. I can tell you something right now. There'll be an awful lot of people going into that voting booth, and they're going to look at Trump, Clinton, and they don't want to say they're for Trump because they're ashamed. They think that Trump is rude and crude and everything else. Yeah, he is in a way. Yeah, I agree with that, but the hell with it. You know, niceties are out the window. We are losing this country, and frankly, to be honest with you, this country is almost gone, and he may be the very last thing that can save this country. And I would simply say that people like Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, as far as Mr. Romney is concerned, please, Mr. Romney, stick your head in the toilet and flush it. I don't give a damn about you anymore. I never did, but I voted for you anyways. I didn't want to have Obama in. But the simple fact of the matter is, hey, guys, get over it. And those people that are still the Cruz people out there and still holding this, oh, God, he got robbed. Listen, Ted Cruz, as far as I'm concerned, made his own bed, and now he can lie in it. And if there was ever, you know, I kept hearing from some people, well, Trump attacked his dad in that article. Hey, if his father wasn't in that picture, why isn't he suing the Inquirer? He could make $100 million on a lawsuit against them.
That's what it always comes back to, you know what I mean? We've said that. I'm not dwelling on that anymore, Mike, just because, you know what, I want to move forward in a more positive manner when I talk about the GOP, which is hard enough to do, but I'm certainly going to hit Clinton really hard, and this Clinton University scandal, as they call it, because it is on the Washington Examiner. It's right on the front page. You've heard of Trump University, but how about Clinton University?
Well, I would say you've got a newspaper and you've got a lot of assets that you can exploit to get this story out. I think you should get it out, and the more people that hear about it, they should tell their friends about it. Basically, this was stealing from the taxpayers.
Yep.
Nothing more, nothing less. This was grand theft.
Yeah,
period.
To the
Cruz people, grow up.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Under Secretary Clinton, here, it's right on the front page of the Washington Examiner. Under Secretary Clinton, Laureate Education got a whopping $55 million in grants from the State Department, the U.S. State Department, while Hillary was there, and they made him that honorary chancellor that you were talking about and paid him $16.5 million back. That's pretty good money, isn't it?
Oh, God, I'd like to have that. Does the chancellor of or the president of the U of M make that kind of money?
No.
Well, probably do, you know.
They might
probably rip us off over there, too, you know. But anyways, to those people that have a hard time going for Donald Trump, look at the alternative that you have. Do you want Hillary Clinton? Do you want Bill Clinton? Do you want John Podesta? Do you want Carville?
Oh, my gosh,
hello?
Yeah. Yes, no Carville. Listen to that, guys.
By the way, I just want to say something. I didn't have a chance to say it to Linda. Linda Hughes, thank you for getting rid of Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for getting... You know, I called Hugh Hewitt's show one day, and the guy says, what do you want to talk about? I want to say, well, he talks about his fetching wife. Does she fetch bones or... It must be bones because he doesn't have any...
Don't go there. Don't go there.
Okay.
No.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good one. Okay, so there you go, Linda. You made the right decision. I have to agree with it, too. I was about hewing it out. But the Clinton corruption, this is just part of it. And every time you turn around, the media ignores it. You don't see it on ABC News. You don't see it so much on Fox News. You don't see it definitely not on MSNBC or CNN. They're doing everything they can to hide and ignore these corruptions and these scandals that is Hillary and Bill Clinton. And people just don't understand it. Well, here's another story, okay? You want to talk about having access and selling out the office of the President of the United States? Here's what the Clintons did with national security. A Clinton donor gets on a sensitive intelligence board and has absolutely zero experience in security. Derek, you got track two ready? Okay, let's play this.
A new batch of Clinton emails out this morning is raising questions about a donor to the Clinton Foundation and how he ended up on a government intelligence advisory board. ABC's Brian Ross is here with more on that story. Good morning, Brian.
Well, good morning, Amy. The newly released State Department emails being made public here this morning reveal how Undersecretary of State Hillary Clinton, a major donor to the Clinton Foundation, was put on a sensitive government security advisory board, even though he had no known experience in the area.
Members of the State Department's International Security Advisory Board include some of the country's most prominent figures on American nuclear strategy, all with top secret clearances. But in 2011, the Clinton State Department also added this man, Rajiv Fernando, a wealthy Chicago commodities broker with no known connection to the national security world.
I'd like to invite to the stage Raj Fernando.
What he was known for before and after his appointment was raising and giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to Democratic campaigns and as much as $250,000 to the Clinton Foundation.
ABC News, you have just a second to talk here.
When we approached Fernando at the 2012 Democratic convention...
How did you get appointed to that board? Can you talk about that?
How did you know my name, out of curiosity?
He became upset, and we were threatened with arrest.
Yeah, just me betting the property will be arrested.
I'll be arrested for asking questions of this man?
Yeah.
But now the new set of State Department emails, obtained after a lawsuit brought by Citizens United, reveals the role of Clinton Chief of Staff Cheryl Mills in appointing the big donor, with a senior career official using the shorthand S, a common reference to Secretary Clinton. The true answer is simply that S. staff, Cheryl Mills, added him. Raj was not on the list sent to S. He was added at their insistence.
I don't know who will be giving money.
At her confirmation hearing, Clinton vowed foundation donors would not receive special treatment.
That will not influence, it will not be in the atmosphere.
The new Clinton emails also show that when ABC began asking questions about the appointment of Fernando in 2011, top Clinton aide Cheryl Mills asked the press officer to stall for 24 hours. The very next day, Fernando submitted his resignation from the prestigious board.
The Clinton campaign declined to comment on our story and the state.
Okay. So if you cannot see a Clinton crime syndicate, you must be blind. This woman and this man, Bill and Hillary Clinton, are selling out the American people to make a buck. This is what they do. They do it on a daily basis. You can't turn around without running into a Clinton body count or a Clinton scandal somewhere. Is this what we want? At best, she's going to do another 4 years of Obama's agenda. At worst, she's going to take it to the next level. They'll literally be selling out the Lincoln bedroom and time by the minute with Hillary. This is an offense that should be, it should be jail time involved here. This email scandal, the server scandal, this scandal, the Laureate University, it goes on and on and on. Now, Donald Trump is supposed to have a big press conference on Monday. We're going to see what it is. I don't know how you can cover all the Clinton scandals in a single press conference. There's just no way. I couldn't cover this in a week's worth of shows. It's incredible. Well, let's take a break real quick, Derek, and when we come back, we'll finish up with a little bit more Clinton action. See you on the other side.
It's time for This American Voice with Theron, brought to you by A&H Lawn Service. Now here's Theron.
Girls Gone Wild, and boys too. That's pretty much it with today's free stuff-driven self-entitled youth. The Feel the Burn Youth of America are the perfect subset of useful idiots the gray and dying 60s communists have been praying for some time. They tried to divide the so-called working-class proletariat from the rich capitalist pigs, but that didn't work. It turns out that working in America enables a pretty good life. Then they tried dividing blacks from whites with the very tired rehash of discrimination and the injustice of slavery. Most blacks, like whites, are not racist and didn't take the bait. The communist and racist group called Black Lives Matter got a little ground, but they are still fringe players on the edges of society, thankfully so. But the nation's youth, saddled with bone-crushing debt around useless degrees in women's studies or black studies, now there's a potential revolutionary force, folks. Promise them free stuff, free college, free everything. They'll not only feel the burn, they'll burn it to the ground getting there. The same failed philosophy that gave us Venezuela, Cuba, and China is giving us Bernie Sanders. And the 1960s gray and dying pseudo-intellectual commie philosophers couldn't be happier.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of Southeast Michigan. They've been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991, including landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing, and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. They have the professional experience you can count on. Call 734-429-5778 and see how their business can help your business, or visit ahlawncare.com.
Do you still believe in your neighbors? Are you surrounded by a world where doors stay locked and windows shuttered? Where streets that once rang with bike bells and shouts have gone empty and silent? So how do you know who the good guys are? Well, consider this. Which sticker on your new neighbor's truck says the most about him, inspires the most confidence and trust? A sports logo? A radio station? Or these three letters? Few symbols speak so clearly and proudly about what you stand for and who you are. A good guy. Someone who believes in community and country, who you can trust to act when others would not. We're the 5 million men and women of the National Rifle Association of America. And if you're one of the good guys too, join us.
You're Catching the Drift.
Gary Wellings and the Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch the Drift. And if you're looking for a new or used car, call Brighton Ford, 1-800-494-2175, or go to their website, brightonford.com. You can check out all the deals. Or go to the Current newspaper. It's online at currentonline.com. There's all kinds of coupons. You can print them out and take them in. Tire rotation, $16.95. The Works oil package, $29.95. 10% off all parts and pothole specials to get your suspension taken care of. So go to brightonford.com. Or call 800-494-2175. Good folks up there. That's where I do most of my car business. So check it out and get up there and see it. All right. So I'm going to force people. We're doing short time here. But if you're not going to thedailydrift.com, you should be. And one of the stories we had in the last 2 days here was 11 explosive Clinton cash facts that the mainstream media confirm are accurate. Now, they confirm that they're accurate, but they're not putting it on the news. So how is this for a fact? Here then are 11 facts the mainstream media will say they are true, verified, and facts from the movie Clinton Cash, the untold story of how and why foreign governments and businesses helped make Bill and Hillary Clinton rich. This is a confirmed fact. Hillary's foundation hid a $2.35 million foreign donation from the head of Russian government's uranium company that had a business before Hillary Clinton's State Department, a clear violation of the Memorandum of Understanding with the Obama administration. The New York Times confirmed that. Okay? That is just criminal. Right there. There's your first one. Here's another one. Confirmed. Bill Clinton bagged $500,000 for a speech in Moscow paid for by a Kremlin-linked bank. Bill Clinton made a $500,000 speech for a Russian investment bank that had ties to the Clinton at the same time the Uranium One deal went down. Okay? Here's another confirmed. Hillary's brother sits on the board of a mining company that scored an extremely rare gold exploitation permit in Haiti as Hillary and Bill Clinton dispersed billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars in Haiti. It just goes on and on. Confirmed, Hillary's foundation had a foreign donation of 2 million shares of stock by a mining executive with business before Hillary's State Department. Again, a clear violation of the Memorandum of Understanding with the Obama administration. And what that Memorandum of Understanding is that Hillary, and because of her ties with Bill and the Clinton Foundation, would not take care of business or deal with things that had some kind of conflict of interest. There's a memorandum of understanding for that. And why Barack Obama is not forcing the issue is beyond me. He went ahead and endorsed Hillary Clinton the other day, right? First time a sitting president endorses somebody under federal investigation. Not the fact that she's a woman, but the fact that she's under FBI investigation. All right, until next week, get your butt over to thedailydrift.com. Read these stories and pass them around on social media. This is the stuff that needs to get out there to make sure we don't have more criminal conspiracy in the White House next time around. Take care. We'll see you next time.